Dear Jesus, would you speak today? Not me. Let me get out of the way and you speak. We are looking for hope. And you're the voice of hope. You're the presence of hope. You are hope. We need that today. Whether it's a small test, trial, or whatever testing we've had this week, we thank God. Sometimes we even wonder, who cares? Well, Lord, you do. Casting all our care on the Lord, for He cares for you, Peter writes. Today, as we look into your word, we're going to see how you cared for the disciples in the middle of their storm. Just like we have storms, they had it, and you came to their rescue. And I pray that you'd help us to see how you can come to ours. You'll come right in the middle and you'll walk with us. Not always take it away, but you'll walk with us in the middle of it. And as long as you're with us, we can do anything. So Lord, these popcorn praises are a small glimpse of what we'll see in heaven when we worship you and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we praise you. And that still won't be enough. So Jesus, thanks for Calvary. Thanks for dying for us. Thanks for being buried and rising from the grave, defeat and death, hell in the grave. And so Jesus, when you're in us and we're in you, we have victory over the things that are testing and trials. And when the devil throws stuff, we don't go at it alone. We have the power of God at our disposal. May we call on you often. And today, may you just move in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need a Bible, Mark will give you one. Or he'll let you use it. It's a rent. No, I'm just kidding. Now, if you need one, feel free. Thank you for praying with me. Today, we get to look at a familiar story. It's called, Walking on the Water. But we're going to first go through Unshakable Hope. I'll give you a verse or two from the Bible. You either believe the Bible or you don't. You either think this is a real deal or it's not. And it is. So we either got to believe it. Finding hope in this, frazzled world. Please don't watch too much TV or read too many newspapers, because if you do, you won't find much hope. I think some people purposely make things seem worse than they are. What do y'all think? Yeah, the papers and the TV and they do that. I wish they would quit even giving your daily COVID update. I mean, we know it's there. It's almost like, quit reminding me. It's like, Edgar, remember that tooth that hurt you? Please. How about, I'm so old, I can remember on ROV, no less, at 12 o'clock noon years ago, God's Little Minute. How about that? Can we reinstate that, Doctor? Who was the man at First Baptist Channel? Yeah, Dr. Charles Fuller with God's Little Minute. And right there you go, and we get reminded of Jesus for 30 seconds. Why don't we do that again? You imagine, I'm Gene Jadhon. First, let's just turn in our Bible. All the producers would just drop over dead. I mean, we wouldn't have enough backhoes to dig graves for everybody. Because what are you doing mentioning God? Saving the world. You know, why don't we do that? Finding hope in a frazzled world. Man, I'm going to give you some hope today. You might be a little bit feeling a sense of despair, but instead I'm going to give you this. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with what? Pour enough water in a cup and it just comes all out of it. Anybody ever spilt milk when you're a little kid? You know, you pour it in that cup and go, oh, I'm sorry. You know, you're about 8 years old. You can't quite juggle the pitcher yet. Imagine God doing this. Terrell, he just, oh, God, you're soaking me with grace. I know. I'm going to soak you so much they're going to have to wring you out in that old Maytag your grandma used to use. You know what I mean? Y'all remember those two? Watch your fingers. You know, we just put jeans through that, drop in the little tin there, and my grandma had an iron you could set on the stove and heat up. We later used it for a doorstop when electricity was invented. We were so poor, electricity didn't even run to our house. No, it's, then we'd hang them on the clothesline. Y'all remember that too? I want us to overflow with hope today. 1 Peter 1:3-5 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy, we're overflowing again, has begotten us again to a living hope. And that's why I want you to sing, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away. Your hope shouldn't fade away. Reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. If you knew how it was going to end, would you be hopeful? Max Lucado writes in his book, he said, his beloved Cowboys, I know, Chris, you're a diehard Cowboy fan, and I knew you're a Ravens fan. Anyway, he said he wanted to watch a Cowboys game one day, so he went in and preached. He said, I was avoiding all contact with my usual guys that would mention it. And he said, on the way to the parking lot, he almost got to his car, and somebody yells, hey, the Cowboys win today, Max. You know, he spoiled it. But he said on the same hand, when he went home to watch, even if they fumbled, even if they threw an incomplete pay, interception, whatever, he still felt good because he knew what? That the outcome. Well, the outcome is this. Jesus says over in Revelation, you know, he's going to come back. We're going to have hope. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're the hope of glory. So reasons for an unshakable hope are those right there. We're made in God's image. You look like your daddy. God has a plan for each of our individual lives. It's for His plan, number one, to get you saved and going to heaven with Him. So He wants to, 2 Peter 3:9, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Andy reminds me of this verse, and he was working on a message. I learned a lot from Andy. And he said, God, there's a verse in the Old Testament that says, God takes no pleasure in punishing the wicked. You think my daddy really enjoyed whipping me with a belt? Honestly, not trying to be funny. Do you think? No. He did it for my good. God doesn't want to punish. God will help us live the plan He has for us. God loves us, will forgive us, and will live in us. God will give us strength to daily live for Him. God gives us hope today and hope for the future. You don't know, Edgar, I got a lot of stuff going on. God wants the very best for us, but we must trust Him both as Savior and Lord to have this hope. You think you've got a lot going on. I was going to let you watch a video from Max Lucado, but I am going to jump that and go to me. I hope you don't mind. I'm not Max, but I've got a few words for you today. And what story is that? It's found in Matthew chapter 14. Would you turn to there with me? Chapter 14. It's also found in Mark. But let's look at the Matthew. Go ahead, say the story. Jesus walks on water. Let me tell you right here. A Scotsman was taking a trip to the Holy Land, and when he got to the Sea of Galilee, he was aghast when he found it would cost $50 an hour to rent a boat to go out on the water. Hoot, man, he said, in Scotland, I could have got a boat for about $20. Well, that might be true, said the boatman, but you have to take into account that the Sea of Galilee is water on which our Lord Himself walked, to which the Scotchman replied, well, at $50 an hour, it's a little wonder He walked. He did not want to rent that boat, I guess, so got a choice. You want to walk on water? And I don't know if you know it or not, I looked this up in 1999. I don't think it ever came to pass. Time magazine had an article. The people of Israel, who they wanted to make money, I guess, when the tourists came in, they wanted to build a transparent bridge a few inches below the Sea of Galilee. Could walk and get the feeling of what it's like to walk on the water. That's almost a little, I won't say sacrilegious. I don't know, Jeff, what do you think? I wouldn't want to. As I know, if they didn't do that, you think that's, you're going to feel like Jesus for a few minutes when you walk on the water? They said they didn't want to put handrails on it because they wanted you to really have the true effect. But they would have lifeguards and boats to the side in case anybody fell off. They never went through with that. So we don't have to rent a boat and we don't have to walk on a transparent bridge. I couldn't believe that they'd actually do that. In Matthew chapter 14, would you read with me? We got a few verses here. Matthew chapter 14. Immediately, Jesus, right there it is at the top. I'm going to read it from the NIV. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of Him on the other side, to the other side, while He dismissed the crowd. I'm going to go back over there. You might have missed something. Immediately, Jesus, what's that next word after Jesus? Why did He make them? Now see, I walk in sometimes in my classroom and I know what I'm going to do. My students don't. And I'll do stuff and I'll say, okay, pull out a piece of paper, put your name at the top, and we're going to think about taking this pop quiz. Oh, but you never told us. Well, you see, you don't announce a pop quiz. That's why I don't tell you. But anyway, take out the paper and get ready for the quiz. Oh, gosh, we could take this some other time. I said, now, we're not going to have a quiz today. But I wanted you to, how did you feel? Do you think you're in the place of taking a quiz and passing? No. What'd you just learn? Better go home and study, right? Okay, no, we're not taking a quiz. Of course, I do that occasionally. They don't know I'm going to do that. They don't know when I'm going to holler. Okay, you know, if I warned you, if I go like that, you know, a seventh grader just now was woke up. And I do that occasionally just to get their attention. Jesus says, I'm going to make them go to the, I got this. Y'all go on ahead. The disciples should know by now what they're going to do. Got a little plan. It's a test. What's he do? He goes up on the mountain and prays. I looked this up. I was trying to do a little research on this before. They said he went up and probably prayed in a ballpark of 6 hours before he came to them. How many times have you prayed this week? Does that convict you? Lord, bless his meat. Now let's eat. Hallelujah. Bring that bread. And Jesus. Can you imagine Jesus leading in prayer? Imagine a pastor said, Jesus, would you lead us in prayer this morning? People would probably go, I don't know. How'd you like to be around if Jesus prayed for you? Jesus prayed in John chapter 17 for future believers. Guess who future believers were at that time? Jesus has prayed for you. How's that? Matter of fact, I think he intercedes with God for us. He's going to teach each disciple a lesson. He made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. What crowds? Well, they're feeding 5,000, you know. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to a mountain by himself to pray, and when evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. Even sort of looked that up, too. They said in a ballpark, this boat's probably about 3.5 miles from shore. Why did Jesus let them get so far offshore? Because to them, there is no escape. Early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. Early in the morning, that's probably about the fourth watch. This is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Just when things, it's not quite daylight. It's when you might be a little scared there. Early in the morning, came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. And I stop there and ask you, Mark, what do these guys make a living doing? What do these guys make? Think they've been in a storm before? They're terrified. What kind of storm's hitting them? Some people would call this a, what's that word starts with an S? Squall. This is a squall. See, that thing doesn't happen too often. Y'all remember the 39, in the wreck of the Edmund, it's still that man. That's Gordon Lightfoot must have sang 97 verses of that song. But anyway, you know where that boat, Edmund Fitzgerald, wrecked? You know where it sank? In Michigan. Yeah, it's almost like a weird storm coming up all of a sudden. It sank in Lake Superior, I believe. We're not talking about the Atlantic Ocean. We're not talking about a sea. We're talking about in a lake. And they said sudden things will stand up a ship and just, it's almost like a tidal wave. Can you imagine you're up here at Smith Mountain Lake and whoosh, wave go up 80 feet? I think this is more than just, ooh, a little breezy out here. These sailors are going, we're going to die, is what they're doing. These are people who live by it. This is people like, Mark, I've caught a Willis Jeep. No, well, I don't know what you, if you're going like this, the pole's just going like that, you'd probably just take that pole. You can have it out. What are you going to bring in? Loch Ness Monster? I mean, I believe they're scared to death. The Bible says, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, if they haven't had enough, it's a ghost. Why don't we think our worst? They cried out in fear. These are sailors with tattoos and, yeah, man. Not now. Crying like a little baby. Immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I, don't be afraid. Peter answered him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. See, he thought, oh, if it's a ghost won't command him. He heard the word that he would hate. Come. Oh, I knew he'd say that. Now the disciples in the boat, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, I don't know. What are you going to do? You're going to go, ooh, buck, 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 buck. Well, if I don't go out there, they're going to never let me live this down. And if I do, I could what? Drown. About a rock and a hard place. So Peter got out of the boat. Probably got too much pride to sit there. Started walking on the water, came toward Jesus. But when he noticed a strong wind, he became frightened. Began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. How many of us have a good Monday, and we feel okay, and then a storm hits Tuesday, and we cry out in fear and go, oh, God, I knew I wouldn't have a good week. Well, wait a minute now. Jesus immediately reached out of his hand and caught him and said, oh, you have little faith. Why do you doubt? I don't look at him criticizing Peter. I think he was probably being nice to him. I really, oh, man, you were doing so good. Come on, let me grab you. When they got into the boat, everybody read with me these three words. The wind, okay, that's reciprocal of that. Before that, what? The wind hadn't ceased yet. When they got into the boat. So Jesus gets Peter up, and they both walk in the what? In the storm until they get back to the boat. Imagine Peter going, whew, wind going like this, hanging on to Jesus. Jesus just, and the storm is beating them, waves are splashing. I don't see that the storm has died yet. Boat. I've seen him a few chapters before. They've seen him feed the 5,000. They've seen him raise a little girl from the Jairus' daughter. They've seen him raise the dead, feed the 5,000. They've seen him do miracles of worship him. I'm not saying it hadn't before, but I just get this feeling that why does God put you and me in a storm sometimes? We're right there on the spot. We see what he's done. And whether it's my mama, and when my mama was in a car wreck, I was holding her hand. I said, God, let me take her place. I am the reason she's here. When I get to heaven, my mama will probably say, you know what, I prayed to Jesus and said, whatever it takes to get Edgar back on path, because he's not, you do. So you're the cause of her car wreck? Wouldn't surprise me if I am. Scratch right there and takes about 2 stitches. Put my mama in the hospital for a while. Lungs filled up with fluid, and I thought I was going to lose her, and me and God had a talk. Wonder why, Chris. He's put me through a storm. Sure did take a lot to get your attention. God didn't say that to me. He didn't say, you sure are a hard head. And I'm going to be in company. Raise your hand if you've ever been a hard head and fighting God. Gosh, he has mercy. He could have just let us what? See how miserable you get. Jesus is not like that. He doesn't come behind you and go, hey, how's that life going for you? But he comes down over the bank as a good shepherd, picks up enough briar marks, grabs you. Would you quit fighting me? Not yet. They're like that. You know what they said a shepherd does when he gets that lamb? Sometimes over the bank, comes back, he'll break one of its legs. Gosh, that's cruel. No, he breaks it, puts it around his neck. Sets it, but then he carries that lamb on his neck as he's feeding the other sheep. And pretty soon that lamb is healed. And that lamb now can walk, and he sets the lamb back down, and that lamb will just rub on his leg because he says he's... Are you rubbing on Jesus' leg? If this would be a cat, you know, you just rub him right on there. I want you to rub on Jesus because he's your hope. Good as all that. Would this be a scary story? Why? You know it is. I'm a little scared. When my oldest brother, Gene, came home one night, He said, there's a snake down there in the road. Daddy says, well, I guess we need to go get it. Looks like a rattlesnake or a copperhead. So sure, we got to go down and get it. Daddy looks and's like, you ready? And I went, if you're going, I'll go. See, if my father goes, I'll go. And Daddy says, okay, here's the flashlight. You click it on when I say now, we'll shoot this thing. Daddy's got a 22. Now. Well, that's going back to the house. And I thought, should we check that? Or, oh, sorry. Didn't mean to even ask. Next day, I'm going down there to catch a school bus and standing out there, and there's a dead snake in the road. It could be anything. Your heavenly daddy can. Is that a trial by Satan? It's not anymore. And sometimes he'll walk with the storm. So reasons for Jesus will test our faith in our storm, and Jesus will help. Jesus will cause us to worship in the storm. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the water. As I said, I looked this up, and they're 3.5 miles. You, Peter replied, tell me to come on the water. Is a boat safer than the water? What do y'all think? Peter, just a personal application from that. Whatever you're hanging on to, you got a what? Okay, God. So if I'm hugging a tree right here and go, I can't get on that limb. Scary being out there on a limb, isn't it? You're too far from the tree. What if you couldn't swim? Same thing. You're hanging on to the side of the pool when you go. Remember how you used to play tag when you was a little kid? And if this is a base, look off the base. Yeah, 4 inches. Look, I'm not on the base anymore. Yeah, that required faith. Then you had even people that would go like this. Yeah, come at me. They're 30 yards from the base. I want to be one of those. I want to let loose the tree. I want to get off the side. And Jesus says, matter of fact, you can't walk. Peter got down out of the boat. He was doing fine until he saw the wind. What did the wind take away from him? His faith. What else? Courage. Because the opposite of that occurred. Now he's afraid. There went my faith propels, or fear propels faith sometimes. He's scared now. Begins to, guys, throw me an oar. No, he didn't. Don't go back to where you left out, Jesus, save me. At least he was looking in the right direction. And Jesus says, oh, come on, you're okay. Back up on the waves. Be a wave walker. Verse 45, just for a moment here. Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. Saw his disciples straining at the oars. What's that mean that you and I do today? We try so hard and work so hard when God could help us in a moment. Why do we work so hard? Why do we work so hard? Because we do not want what? Bone sticking out of your skin, Edgar. I got it. I'll put it back in. Duct tape that thing. I'm good. Go to the doctor. No, I got this. Okay, Mr. Hardhead. He saw the disciples straining at the oars. We try everything but God. And about the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them. Now, you read your Bible. I'm just going to read this phrase. I think this is, Matthew doesn't say this. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to do something. To what? He's going to pass them by? What kind of test is that? And Jesus goes, we're done. Are you now? Would you help us? Okay. You mean he'd have passed them on by? What do you think? He's waiting on them to do what? Bible says God's a jealous God. You want to try that? You go ahead. You want to try that? Yeah. I won't bother you and tell you. Want me to? I've never seen anybody yet. Hey, preacher, here's a volunteer. And you got his arm bent up behind him. Here's a volunteer. No, he's not. Let him go. Jesus is not going to force you. You want his help? Cry out for his help. He's about to pass him by. I picture Jesus sometimes in a rocking chair, sitting in a room with the door open. There's no door. Just take it off. And he's sitting in there. And when you walk by going, man, I'm busy with life. Hey, Jesus, how's it going? And Jesus does not come out of that room. He does not chase you down. He's waiting. And then one day you come by and go, Jesus, things aren't going too well. He's got a rocking chair beside him. You come in and sit down. You want to talk about it? See, he's not going to chase you down. Reminds me, you know, Opie had a little dog with a rope on. And he comes in and says, hey, Paul, look, this dog's following me. And Andy says, you think the rope's causing him to do that? Oh, no, it does help him to follow me. I guess so. God's not going to put a leash on you. He wants you to voluntarily call on him. He's about to pass these guys by. He saw the disciples strain at the oar. The fourth watch of the night, he went out to them walking on the water. He was about to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. Always our worst fears, you know. I got a headache. I got a brain tumor. I'm going to die tomorrow. No, hold that train, devil. That's what he does to us. Got a pimple, skin cancer. I'm going to be dead by tomorrow. Why do we do that? We think the worst. It's a ghost. Is that the worst? Yeah. People don't like that. Because if it's a ghost, that means someone is dead and trying to speak to them. By the way, the only ghost, I saw that the other day on Facebook. Somebody said they put this sign in the yard. They said, I don't like Halloween, so I'm going to put this up. They said, the only ghost in this house is the Holy Ghost. I thought, yeah, that's pretty good. They were scared to death, these strong, big old fishermen. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately, not 3 days later, immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage. Remember what we read from Joshua chapter 1, 7 through 9 today? Be strong and courageous. Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves, you know, feeding the 5,000. Their hearts were hardened. They don't know everything. They sort of questioned Jesus. But I'll tell you what, he's getting their attention right now, big time. By the way, when Simon Peter, as Matthew says, he gets out and he walks on the water, what do we learn from that? Let me quickly give you these. Verse 25, Jesus was in the storm with the disciples. He comes to us in the middle of a storm. I wonder how many hospital rooms Jesus has sat through all night long. A calmness. Jesus will test our faith in the storm. I think He almost walked by them. He waits until it's 3 to 6 in the morning. Jesus wanted to see if His disciples would call out to Him. He's been with them not quite 3 years. I've fed the 5,000. We've healed, caused little girls to rise from the dead. I want to test you. By the way, I get a personal application from that too. God grows us in faith. Picture a stairway going to heaven, and you're on the first step, and then He grows us a little bit more. You ever meet someone really mature in their faith? My mama was like that. My mama would say, "Here's what God's teaching you." And I went, "Okay," because I'm a young God follower to her. And I think He tests us. He's about ready to test these disciples, one of the biggest tests in the world. What was He saying? "Are you going to call out to Me? Oh, I'm a miracle worker. You see Me that, but do you really trust Me?" Peter falls. Jesus calls. Peter leaves the boat. Peter walks, sinks, and then rises again. Where you at right here, by the way? Are you walking with Jesus, or you feel like you're sinking sometimes? Do you want to rise again? I can't promise what God's timetable is. Jesus gets into the boat, and what did they do after He got into the boat? I wonder if it was Andrew or maybe Simon or whether it was John, His close friend. Nothing. What do you think? Do you think somebody said, "We just need to pray right quick"? Now that touches my heart. Jesus gets into the boat, looks at all of them, and they go, "Oh God, what do we do? You're in the boat with us. Thanks for testing us. Did we pass that?" You may have been tested. Do you fall the way you used to, or are you stronger? I'm not patting me on the back, but I thank God. I'm glad I'm passing some of the tests I used to fail. I'm doing better. I'm moving in the right direction. He still sticks with me. There you go. Jesus and Peter both walk in the raging storm together. And Jesus will cause us to worship Him in the middle of our storm. Which one of those things hit you? So Chris, is it a storm to work 60 hours a week? Have you cried out yet? I don't know where you are on that list. I just don't want to be tested. God disciplines those He loves. He loves those He disciplines. God's going to help us rise and walk with Him. I don't know what we can see, what you're really made of until we test you. What do you think? If you said, "I'll be in this," I don't know, you feel it, "I'll be in this weight room every day." Really? Well, tomorrow we're not going to lift at noon. We're not. We're going to lift at 5:30. "Oh, man, I can't get here then." Then you don't want to really lift. "I'll be here." "Yes, sir." "Just a test. We can go ahead and lift at noon. I just wanted to see if you'd come." Remember this song a long time ago? "Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm lone. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light." What in the world is that next line? Ooh. "Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home." I think I've squeezed His hand so much sometimes, I've probably about broke knuckles. And Men Melanie's got a standard, we sort of smile, it's not a joke, but I said, I've been leaving finger grips on Jesus' arm again today. You ever had a little kid do that to you and trust you? It's like you can let loose of him, now the blood's starting. "I'm afraid." Go ahead, you got my permission, squeeze Jesus' bubble. "When my way grows drear, precious Lord, lingering year, when my light is almost gone, hear my cry," disciples heard that, "hear my call, Hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears, wow. That means when things just get so cloudy that you feel like giving up and think, oh, I don't know about this anymore. He's teaching me. He takes things I used to dread and I almost look forward to them. Who else but God could do that? Wow, tomorrow morning I get seventh graders learning keyboard. Yeah. We go. We don't do it quite the same. I used to go down and get Joe and H.E. Leonard and get them out of study hall sometimes. They didn't like Miss Flora. Is this being recorded? No, just kidding. No. They didn't want to sit in there. Was it boring, Joe? Was it just... And I guess she used to get on... I can't imagine you talking very much. Why did... Was she getting on you a lot? Or she just wasn't... She was just tough sometimes. So I'd go up and get them out of the library. Take them down, we'd lift weights. That was good for me and them. Was it good use of your free period? I think so. What do you think, Joe? I just don't want to go to Blacksburg in a car. It's too snowy. I don't want to stay up to 12 doing one more thing. I don't. Either God is who he is or he's not. What do you think? And the day is past and gone. The river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand. Sent Mark Camper something the other day, reminded me that we, about this time, a year or so ago, and said goodbye to his dad. And Mark, what, inside of a year, year and a half, lost both parents? I mean, so he goes from, they're feeling bad, the year or so later, now we got a little, say, I can remember going to the hospital, and so the whole thing, maybe a year or so, but you're right. 2 months to finally say so long. Talk about a storm. It's just tough. Tell that to Paul when you get to heaven. We do not lose heart, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Hear what Paul called light and momentary? Not what I'd call them. You'd think, and I think you'd agree. In prison, he's in jail, beaten. They threw him outside in the rubbish pile one time because they thought he was dead. You know what this crazy Paul does? Gets up, brushes off his feet. I'm going back, Barnabas. What are you doing? I'm going back in there. That's just where they beat you up and killed you and threw you out here. Well, they kill me. Can't keep a good man down. Let's go back in that place. Imagine that circle of men who killed him sitting there. Yeah, took care of Paul, dude. Paul, hey, you guys, how's it going? We're going to kill you. Don't worry, I'll be back. He says in the third heaven there he was called up to. I actually think he was beaten to death. Stoned, shipwrecked 3 times. By the way, one time when he was shipwrecked, what was he? Sure, you know what? Snake bit. And everybody says, oh, he's going to die. He had the snake hanging on his hand and went, shook it into the fire. They said, ah, he's a prisoner. God's paying him back. Shakes it into the fire. He's a god. Okay, you went from prisoner to God in 8 seconds. You think the world does that to us? I hate you. Oh, got some money? I love you. You know, it's like motions. Paul says, I'm not a god. Just godly. Light momentary troubles. How could Paul do that? Because he can see an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And you want to go on, but on some days the road seems so long. Let me encourage you with this. God never said a journey would be easy, but he did say that the arrival would be worth it. When I walk into heaven, when you walk into heaven, you won't talk about 12-hour days. You won't talk about a customer that drives you nuts. You won't talk about a patient. I won't talk about students. Oh, I had a seventh grader. He about put me. There are 7 labors hell. The first one is middle school. No, I didn't. No. You know what James Dobson said about, I love it. I wouldn't do what I do. I love it. Really. James Dobson said, you know what you can do with that between age? He said, you're expecting something profound to come from James. He said, just learn to live through it. That's what he said. So true. It'll be worth it. Jesus, our trials will seem so small when we see Him. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So let us run the race till we see Him. Pray with me. Dear Jesus, we are going through trials. We are not a people who have no hope, for our hope is found in You. I would hope and pray that LifePoint family would call on You in the midst of a storm, because we'll find that You're true and faithful. So today, Jesus, in these still, small, quiet moments that we have, a luxury in today's world, but a necessity, I'm going to be right still and just guide us through our prayer time. First, I want you to pray in your heart as you talk to Jesus and say, Jesus, I adore You. I honor You. I worship You because You're worth all those things. Second, ask for forgiveness. If you don't know Jesus, ask Him to forgive you of your sins and accept you as we're sinners, but we're going to be saved by grace. And if you know Him, help Him to, let Him clean your heart. Ask Him to forgive you, cleanse you, wash you clean. Now ask Him to fill you with hope. Ask Him to help you take your eyes off of what's bothering you, and you give that to Him. Allow Him to get into the boat with you, the boat of life this week, and allow Him to sit. Matter of fact, He can take over the stern. He can control that boat. Focusing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. Jesus, too, had some storms, and He had even asked God the Father if He could dodge that one storm called Calvary. That be nice if He could, but He said, but not My will. Yours be done. So if you're in the middle of a storm, it might be God's will to test you and to try you and to improve you in your faith. And some of us who have been through some storms have found Jesus to be faithful and true. So as we close our prayer, Jesus, I pray You'd roam the room, touch our hearts, speak to us. We have a hope. And that hope is You. So hear our prayers, hear our hearts. Keep encouraging us to get out of the boat. And if You're waiting on us to call out, may we do that even right now. Jesus, here we are. Do something with us. Might be save us, help us, heal us, hold us. Might just be walk with us. So good to be in Your presence. I look forward to the day in heaven where we don't have to say amen and do something else. But as for now, Jesus, we love You. Thanks for blessing us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm thankful.